The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon. And so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with the generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelacek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. We'll be a full week into spring when this show airs. Spring is a time of new beginning, of growing. Let's hope we can all grow in our knowledge of each other, in our acceptance of each other. That's what I think is the single thing most needed in this world, understanding and acceptance. Guess I mentioned two things rather than one. Well, I hope you'll all understand and accept my error. The people in charge, the powers that be, they don't care about understanding us. They certainly don't want to accept it. They'd far rather lock us up or disappear us, probably. They keep changing the rules, so there'll be more excuses to do that. At the same time, they ignore whatever rules might be left on the books. We don't need no stinking rules, right? History tells me the USA is rotten inside. Whatever greatness there may have been is giving way to the weakness of lies and corruption. It happens to all empires sooner or later. It's happening to us now. The big lie is paramount. Money is king. And tomorrow never comes. I have some trouble understanding and accepting all that. But I try. Because it's not reasonable to expect my country to understand and accept me if I don't understand and accept it back. The thing is, being reasonable isn't always what it's cracked up to be. Consider the many brilliant people from my era, the 60s, who chose not to have children in order to hold down the population of this planet. Well, the ones who ignored the planetary imperative of reducing population ended up getting more and more control over our lives because they represented a larger and larger share of the population. The whole concept kind of backfired, didn't it? Another example. People like me who advocate complete and utter freedom of speech have little chance against those who oppose it because we allow our opponents to say whatever they want. They find some way not to let us have our say. And so it goes. I'll still try to understand and accept, even those who seem the worst people imaginable, even those who represent the worst things about humanity, at least in my opinion. I'll still rant against injustice, yet I'll try and try again to understand and accept those who practice it. I'll still be true to myself as far as I can manage to do that. I'm human, I'm flawed, and I don't always succeed in such things, but I will still try. That I promise you. Thanks to all of you who listen to our show. And now it's time for my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome back Julius Awafong from Cameroon. These are really unique opportunities for us to give voice to somebody from Africa. I think it's a very cool project that Chuck and Julius are undertaking. We're also going to speak with Leno Sanek, the producer. Leno is the radio host for Black Hop Radio that has been going on for quite a long time, several, many, many years. And Len is going to be taking a trip to Hawaii, and we want to talk to him about Hawaii. Now, it's springtime. Lots is happening. The Catholic workers are going to meet in Kansas City soon for a number of protests. One of the protests will be at the new nuclear weapons facility, which is almost nearing completion, isn't it? It's just amazing to think that we are building and completing a new nuclear weapons construction facility. In Chicago in May, NATO will be meeting there, and there's big plans for demonstrations going to take place in Chicago in May. And plans go forth for war with Iran, it seems. And I was just wondering, you know, We sort of faced off with the USSR over nuclear weapons for years and years and years, and a lot of us remember that from grade school. And I don't know how many nukes they actually had or we have, but it was thousands and thousands, and nothing ever happened, and we're afraid of Iran with one nuclear weapon. And I, you know, it's just a big round of BS to say that this is a reason for attacking. I would say that if we have right to them, so do they. But then again, I have to say that nobody should have nuclear weapons. I also wanted to point out a UFO documentary I came across. Somebody forwarded to me. I mean, if you will Google Forbidden Knowledge TV and then go down to Fast Walkers UFO and Alien Disclosure, and it's just about the best thing I've ever seen on the subject. It's really interesting. It's I really like the lectures of Richard Dolan on this subject, but this is something new and different. And again, a couple weeks ago, the Duluth News Tribune carried a prominently yet another story about the fable of Osama bin Laden and the 40 thieves. It was a AP story complete with an elaborate tale about his living with multiple wives and how those wives were feuding, and it just shows that the CIA creative writing program is alive and well. Osama bin Laden died in 2001. He said he had nothing to do with 9/11, and if he had something to do with it, I'm sure he would have claimed credit. He was a CIA asset. The storyline goes on. I remember that the next day I heard about it on a sports talk radio show after I was coming off of working an overnight at a group home. It was KFAN out of Minneapolis, and the sports guys were talking all about it and yahooing and slapping high fives. And then one of them said he was buried at sea. And it's just incredible that they would swallow that whole cloth and just believe it, and the rest of us do as well. And you kind of wonder, is this really happening? And I guess it is. And you can think of it as a chore or an opportunity, however you might see it, to view this from close up. Another person who did this with an empire was William Shire. He wrote something called the Berlin Diary. It was a radio show out of Berlin in the coming up to the Third Reich. And he also wrote a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. He was in the belly of the beast for all the important transformative years from 33 to 41. He graduated from Washington High School and Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He was originally a foreign correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and the International News Service. He was the first reporter hired by Edward R. Murrow for what would become a team of journalists for CBS Radio. Shire became known for his broadcast from Berlin, from the rise of the Nazi dictatorship through the first year of World War II. With Murrow, Shire organized the first broadcast world news roundup, a format still followed by news broadcasts today. And this is a quote from Shire, and he's talking about the German people, and I think it could well be used today. A steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. No one who has not lived for years in a totalitarian land can possibly conceive how difficult it is to escape the dread consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. Often in a German home or office, or sometimes in a casual conversation with a stranger in a restaurant, a beer hall, a cafe, I would meet with the most outlandish assertions for seemingly educated and intelligent persons. It was obvious they were parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers. Sometimes one was tempted to say as much, but on such occasions, one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one had blasphemed the Almighty, that one realized how useless it was even to try to make contact with the mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for truth, said they were. Well, William Shire was in the belly of the beast in the pre-Nazi years and in the Nazi years. And I think that we are in a similar situation here on this radio show now in America. And I think that William Shire was not afraid, so there's no reason for us to be afraid. We just cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust First, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
The New American Dream presents an American Hero special. Recently, we honored patriotic singer-songwriter Toby Keith. He put a boot up their ass. Awesome. Then we honored General Norman Schwarzkopf, General Colin Powell, General Tommy Franks, General something-something Petraeus, all the other generals out there in charge of our patriotic military who are protecting us from people plowing mountains with oxen and killing them before they fly those oxen over here and dive bomb us with box cutters and not allow us to worship in the churches of our choice. Then we honored Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who uttered those words. Those words that will live forever in classic Catholic hymnals and on the sides of police cars in the same awesome style of Madeleine Albright speaking about the children dying in Iraq during the sanctions. We came. We saw. He died. This week, we honor all of you who stand like robots whenever the American flag passes by in a parade or when the national anthem is played or any sporting event from 7th grade intramural checkers to the Super Bowl. You stand without even thinking, and for that we thank you. For if you had a brain or stop for a moment to think of what you're doing, what you're being asked to do, to condone, well, condone America and its wars and killing in order to steal from other nations, you'd crawl out of that stadium on your knees in shame. And for that we salute you. You're not a pervert or a murderer or an insane person. You're an American hero.
This portion of tonight's program is also being brought to you by the Underpants Bomber, the DC Sniper, the Times Square Fizzler, and the Al-Qaeda Conclave Mosque Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota. Hola is great. Wait, no, Allah is great and most awesome. How's it going? We are new to your country. We want to kill you and take your Wii Sports software. Our high-rise layers are too, how do you say, more of dude caves and not too gnarly and not cool for bowling. For make benefit, glorious nation of Kebabistan. Death to Peyton Manning and NASCARs and WWF. We come from a very organized, well-kept, well-swept cave in the mountains of Afghanistan, far, far up in sheep nosebleed section. We did 9/11 and other things like the 93 World Trade Center bombing and the Beirut Marine Barracks bombing and for sure lots of other stuff that we did. We are not the FBI or CIA, ha, that's for sure. And for sure you would be a silly person who does not fit in your neighborhood to think so. We have nothing to do with George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush the senior one who sits in the front row at the World Series with his pig-resembling wife, or Obama bin Laden, oybe, Barack Obama. Thank you very much. Happy times. Have a good day, and please to stay on the same page. Take it to the next level. Keep it real, and be always awesome. And also, for what reason we have no idea, we would also like to shout out to those men and women serving in 10,000 countries and municipalities, islands, peninsulas, knolls, glens, gullies, inlets, deltas, fjords and firths overseas, serving in Berlin and Aachen and Baden and Pfaffen and und Dierdorf und Daden und Dasher und Prancer und Donder and Blitzen. We need you. For what reason, we have no idea, but thank you for all you do, and we are pleased to send you 50% of our tax dollars. For what reason, we have no idea. But because you are there and they thank you at ball games and on beer commercials, we thank you for all you do. For what reason, we have no idea. And now I'd like to bring on our first guest, if Len can come over from his producer's chair. Len is our producer. He's in Vancouver, Canada, and he's also the host for Black Op Radio that has been on for, Well, I think it's been at least a decade, and Linda's taking a trip to Hawaii in April, and we'd like to just kind of catch up with Lynn and see what's happening with Black Op Radio, and also to see, for those of us who will never get there, we'd like to find out what Hawaii is like. Lynn, are you there?
Hello, Mike. Hello, Chuck.
Lynn, we have a good connection.
Yeah, we do today. Good.
Okay. Lynn, could you tell me again, because it amazes me, as a Canadian, you know, you have spent years and years, I would say, doing a great service that has not been done by other people in researching, hosting Black Op Radio, researching the Kennedy assassination and other conspiracies, and just being a resource for all the people doing research. Why did you start to do this, and why do you continue to do it?
Well, I started because of the interest I had in, and there seemed to be something that I didn't know about, and I couldn't put a name and face to, but it was a quality of John Kennedy that I thought there was someone who was doing good for the world. And I wasn't too specific about the U.S. I really felt he was a worldly figure. And because he was the president of the United States, there wasn't anything, you know, against him or anything. I just thought, you know, that guy was so good and they killed him, you know. And I wonder what was behind that. And, of course, as soon as you start to look into the Lee Oswald mystique, the mystery of this guy, you find out he's an intelligence asset agent. You know, he's working. He was sent to the Soviet Union to defect. I mean, the more you look into it, the more questions there are, and you recognize that there's a complete I don't even know how to put it in words, the deception that's been perpetrated on America with regards to this crime, that a president was killed and no real investigation happened. They set up the Warren Commission. The Warren Commission was there to cover it up. They were spoon-fed information from the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover, had a limited investigation, and that was that. And somehow I can't believe that the American people have just gone to sleep. But there's a lot of people who are interested in the topic, and many people have written books. With the advent of the internet, I was able to network a lot quicker with people. So when I didn't know someone's phone number, I could find them on the internet or find an email address, and pretty soon you were talking to various people. Of course, though, the reason I got so far into this was because I made contact with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, and Fletcher was unparalleled. He worked in the Pentagon for 9 years. He was in the military for 23 years. And he was just a fantastic resource and unparalleled in his contributions to the truth in history. So when I met him, and I spent about 4 years getting to know him, and then we decided to put together a CD-ROM. After we were making the CD-ROM, you know, he really opened up to me. And over about a 10-year period, we became quite good friends. And near the end, I was doing interviews to promote the CD-ROM with Fletcher. And as he was becoming a little more ill, he stopped doing them, and a few of them were set up. And, I didn't like some of the interviews. I thought, well, I could just do my own interview. So that's how I started Black Op Radio. Because I work in a recording studio, I had the facility to do that and the technology available to me. And, of course, when the internet just bloomed, people really can network, and you can search for something now and find it, whether it's a photograph or a piece of audio or a missing document. So although there's a lot that governments have to keep secret, and it's unbelievable that people do not demand open government, you know, they seem to just accept a secret government, a black budget, and they just keep going, you know, as if they just keep voting for the same guys. And, you know, in this last election, it really underscores that if someone runs the whole campaign on change, completely 100% for hope and change, you can just see that there's no change. There's no change. It's like a student's council in a school voting a new student's council president, but thinking they're going to change the curriculum of the school board, of that state. No, the power is up, big power is up top, and water flows downhill.
Say, Len, over the years, you probably spent many a dark and stormy night in your studio thinking, I wonder how many people are listening and I wonder how long I can do this. But you kept going over years and years. Where would you say the interest level is right now, if it was on a chart? Is it high interest or is it going up or down?
I would say it's just average, staying the same. I don't think the graph is going up or down at all. Interest was really raised in 1992-93. Right before that, Nigel Turner in England had made The Men Who Killed Kennedy. And that had appeared on A&E. And it was, it ended up being, I think, a 10-part series. But at the time, it was a 5. And then there was part up to 8. And then the final 2. But it was quite a deal. And then right after that, on top of that, Oliver Stone's film JFK came out. So it was JFK. There was the Assassinations Records and Review Board was instituted, saying, okay, some of these agencies should open up for material that is there that forget about state secrets. If it has to do with the Kennedy assassination, we want that released. We don't want secret plots against Cuba or in Europe or, somewhere else. We just want to know anything on the Kennedy assassination, release that. And, of course, Robert Blakey, well, I won't get into what I think of him, but, a complete fraud, just made sure that the truth didn't come out. And
Go ahead.
Well, so at the end there, the House Select Committee on Assassinations concluded with Robert Blakey that on the acoustical evidence there was more than more than one gunman. I mean, it's crazy. Some of these things, like Thomas Noguchi, the coroner in L.A., his statements were that Kennedy was shot from behind between 0 and 2 inches, based on powder burns. And they go, Sirhan was in front of him, right? So that doesn't line up, and Americans don't do anything. And the same with the Assassination Records and Review Board. Well, that panel was made up of people who were actually Warren Commission believers, and so they went into it just saying, we're not going to find anything. Just come up with a report. That's the kind of thing, these political things. If you're not interested in the topic and you're assigned to the panel, you just go through the motions, right? These things have to have people who are actually interested in it, So imagine if you're a paleontologist and you don't really care about finding anything, you're just sifting through dirt. If you find something, you go, oh, well, I don't care, So that's how some of these things are.
You mentioned the advent of the internet and all that, and but you must have met some really, if I was to hand out a Nobel Peace Prize, I would give it to the people who have been researching all these conspiracies over all these years. People like yourself who have just spent their own time and own money, just maybe devoting their whole lives to it, just going for it because it meant so much to them. Well, you must have met some pretty interesting people over the years. Do you want to talk about any of them?
Well, because of my work with Fletcher Prouty, I feel that he is heads and tails above anyone out that I have met. He was unparalleled. It was a great moment in my life to be able to call him a friend. Working with him for years when I first started writing letters to him and that, he didn't know me from Adam, so he didn't open up until I had been working with him, like I say, maybe about 4 years. And then he realized one day that I really was keeping track of dates and figures and what everything meant. And then he really opened up to me. And he was getting elderly at that time, too. So, I think he trusted me as much as you trust anyone, right? My first letter to him said that, look, I'm not in the military. I'm not a writer with any magazine. I don't have any agenda. I'm just an interested citizen, interested in the history of where we live and the time we live in, and can you answer some of these questions? And I sent him 20 questions, and not one of them asked who killed Kennedy. I thought, well, that will be... I'd heard him speak before, and I thought it would be kind of anticlimactic if somebody just says, oh, okay, who killed him? And then somebody gives you a name, and you don't even know what to do with that. You don't know what to make of it, right? So, kind of like the spokes on a wheel, I asked all these questions around it, thinking if I was to have someone answer these questions, I would be left with knowing what was in the middle. So...
It wasn't right across the street either, was it? You had to fly to the eastern United States, didn't you?
Yeah, he lived in Alexandria, Virginia.
You had to plan kind of big project trips, and it was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, he made a comment like this. He says, when you analyze your life, when you look at the staircase and you look down at the steps, you can tell, oh, right, you know, when I did this, and the next step was that, and I did that, and I did, and then it all makes sense. But when you look up ahead, you can't really see what the next steps are. So I don't know what's going to happen, 5 years from now, and, you know, what's in the cards even just around the corner. But looking back, it seems that because I was self-employed and I had my own time, I had time to analyze things, and I had a real interest in listening to these political lectures. And when I heard Fletcher Prouty speak, I instantly heard the ring of truth, you know, and as I started researching stuff, I thought, wow, this is a guy who worked in the Pentagon, and he actually is answering questions to researchers that are putting forward questions. He's answering them truthfully, and a lot of them are uncomfortable, these answers. So, along with that, after the fact that Fletcher had passed away in early 2001, before 9/11, I had met and became friends with, associated through my radio show, very, very prominent researchers like Mark Lane and other people. I was on the Jesse Ventura show when he did an episode on the JFK assassination. So I've been able to meet people who I looked up to, and people have a mutual respect now. But I don't think there was anything like what was like Fletcher Prouty. So that was my association with Fletcher Prouty. I started Black Op Radio. Now, last year, I had a conference in Hawaii, and I'm going to Hawaii again to do some interviews there. There's a very good researcher named John Armstrong who has written a book, Harvey and Lee, and he hasn't really been interviewed by many people. So I'm going there for at least 7 days of interviews with him. Every morning, we're gonna tape. So I'll come back with a lot of more information for listeners of Black Op Radio. And, of course, those will be posted on YouTube and with the shows. But as a conference, it's not going to be a big deal this year because, again, Jesse Ventura is not able to fly because of the TSA lawsuit and things like that and the economy of America. So thanks to the Internet, people can keep up with my show, your show, our interests, and, it just keeps going.
Okay, Len, thank you very much, and we're going to look forward to that those Hawaii shows. Thanks a lot.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
New American Dream Radio Hour is also being brought to you by the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration. Guess what? Harris did not do 9/11. They can tell us because we got these badges. There's no such thing as Al-Qaeda. It's all just for the CIA. The wars in Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq, are just for profit for the rich and those who died on both sides. Well, whatever. And this airport stuff is just to scare people and make them think the wars and the terrorists were, well, real and stuff. But hey, come here. Hey, don't touch my wand. Really, dude, not cool. But guess what? Come here. No, really, come here, come here. This is an awesome job. You ever wanted to, well, you know, you see some awesome babe at Walmart or at the pool or in Big Food, and you wish you could, well, you know, right there? Well, here you can. It's like being in your own dream, but it's real. And did you hear? They're going to start a Superfood Security Administration. Dude, I would get my application in. Dude, this is a great job. I'm not going to have to go to college. I'm not going to have to work construction. I'm not going to have to be homeless or work at Sears. Oh, my God. This is a great job.
The best of the best. Navy SEALs. They swim underwater wearing camouflage face paint. Green and gray. To put in sidewalks in poor neighborhoods? No. To bring health care to poor people? No. To find out the truth about our history? To free prisoners from prison? No. And no. Then what? What do the best of our country do then? They kill silently, then swim back underwater. They hold their breath for a really long time after killing people with knives or their bare hands. The face paint doesn't run or smear. Dude, wow. Navy SEALs, the best of the best our country has to offer. Wow. Our second guest tonight is Julius Awafong from Cameroon. Julius, this time around, you put your interest in the plight of elderly people in your community in Cameroon. Tell our listeners what you've learned and who these elderly people are.
Last month, I was invited to a conference organized by the Economical Service for PC in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and they were trying to show to the public the results of research carried out on the elderly people. And it was entitled, Old People of Cameroon, Forgotten or Ignored. And on this conference, they proved to us that... Anyway, let me start by describing who the elderly people are. The elderly people can be described here as a people who have worked all their lives and are now on retirement and are of ages 60 and above. And the precarious situation which they find themselves in is a call for concern and a point of reflection for the youth of today, who, if not careful, will eventually find themselves in the same or worst situation tomorrow. The United Nations Population Division estimates that by the year 2050, the world will harbor 2 billion people or 2 billion elderly persons, with more of them in the developing world.
Tell us about the behavior of children and the dysfunctional in the changing times that's putting their parents, the elderly, in a vulnerable position.
The good book says or advises children to care for the elderly persons or to care for their parents in their old ages. The problems plaguing the elderly today range from discrimination, ill health, insufficient or no financial assistance, and the abandonment by their children. The government as well has also abandoned them. Now, with the advent of modernization and capitalism, accompanied by industrialization, several African traditional structures, the local norms and practices that regulated and preserved the welfare and social security of the elderly have been completely dismantled. In the past, youth used to stay and grow with their parents in the villages by fetching firewood and water from distant streams for grandma and grandpa, helping them with luggage from the distant farms, splitting their firewood, bathing them, feeding and catering for them, especially when they were sick or really, really tired. Today, the several ills associated with capitalism and especially the quest for money by the youth has dismantled communal life due to rural-urban migration or rural exodus. Once youths find themselves in the cities, some of them embrace the adage of, or the adage that says, everyone for himself and God for all. With this, the elderly are abandoned with less energy to engage in farm work or fetch water and firewood. They find difficulties when they are sick and really, really feel the pain of being abandoned. One thing with the elderly people is that they like to have their children, their grandchildren, around them for discussion. The unfortunate thing is that even the grandchildren are increasingly losing their cultural values due to the influence of modernity, mostly embedded on the village community. This builds a language or communication barrier between the grannies and the grandchildren, which increases the vulnerability of the elderly.
Did the elderly do anything to prepare for their old age when they were young?
Research carried out by the Ecumenical Center for Peace, headed by Ndi Richard Tanto, revealed a lot of troubles that plagued the elderly. For example, when some of them were asked what they did to prepare for their retirement when they were working, about 47% of them replied that they invested in the education of their children with the hope that the children will eventually take care of them in their old age. Investment in children's education is in line with the adage that a child is the pathfinder or guide of the old. Unfortunately today, the rate of unemployment has drastically increased and many children with their educational and professional qualifications are unable to get jobs and are forced to live in the same homes with their parents, adding more burden on them. Some parents who were unable to prepare for their retirement by sending their children to school or investing in other walks of life complained that their salaries were too small and that the business enterprise they had or they were working with closed down prematurely, and there were huge reduction in salaries, abusive taxation policies that contributed in killing their businesses, and the burden of the entire family and extended family was on them.
How do the children assist their parents who are retired, and do the older people want that assistance?
The family situation of some elderly persons, for those who have children, they are lucky to have some support, but those with no children constitute a huge social burden. Those who have children receive support such as company, cleaning of the home, providing firewood and water. But this support, we know, to a larger extent does not solve the ill health problem like rheumatism, diabetes, hypertension, side problems, nerve problems, gastric problems, stomach disorder, malaria and physical incapacity. The elderly need financial assistance to a greater extent too.
Is the situation worse in the cities where the quest for money is very high?
Elderly are often brought to the cities by some of their children who are lucky to have jobs and own big homes. But the problem is when these elderly people who have spent their entire life in the villages come to town, they find it difficult to cope with the modern or city lifestyles. Life in town is too expensive, and most of these elderly people feel pitiful when they see their progeny strain to sustain them. The absence of the traditional communal life in the cities also scare the elderly. They are often left alone in city houses by 7 a.m. to about 5 p.m. They are left to watch television, and some of them don't even understand the colonial languages widely used nowadays in the media. This makes them to complain and would like to return to the village where they can commune or congregate with their age mate to share and discuss their daily troubles.
What are those daily troubles?
In our society today, there is nothing like health insurance for the elderly persons. The government has not yet put in place measures to facilitate access to health care of the elderly. There are no elderly people's homes. The government does not pay much attention or support specific programs peculiar to the elderly. The government does not facilitate or subsidize medical service to them. Government does not create jobs for the youth who should in turn cater for their parents and grandparents. And those who work or who worked in the public service don't find it easy to access their pension immediately they go on retirement.
Thank you, Julius. We look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you so much for having me today on the show, and I'll be back next month. God bless.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity, and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Maybe you will be the next American Idiot. Auditions for American Idiot 2013 are being conducted next Saturday in room 203, the high school history classroom. You can study for the competition by reading the local high school history textbook. Copies are available at the front desk up to the day of audition. You may also prepare by watching the nightly news, the Today Show, Fox News, or listening to National Public Radio. Winners of the local competitions will advance to the regional finals in Waco, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Los Angeles, Evelyn, Minnesota, New York City, and Washington, D.C. And the finals will be held at Dealey Plaza in Dallas. The winner of the next American Idiot competition will be buried at sea on national television, live, sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Tonight we will hear the last, for a while at least, from Solomon Sendek. He's taking some time off to go to a writer's retreat in North Platte to work on his new book, The Complex Apartment. Well, Solomon Sendek, an unknown Mount Liberty writer, took off last spring in his green 76 Pontiac Bonneville on a tour around the country to sell his books, which he has self-published, and not even his wife or children know about the books, even though on several occasions he has told them that he has given all rights to his books and proceeds to them in his will. They just look up for a split moment and grin and say, "Oh, Daddy," and go back to their phones. Solomon Sendek sent back accounts of his travels in columns he wrote for the local newspaper. He sent them by email, and they did not get printed. And when he returned and went to ask about that, the editor agreed to put them up now on the newspaper website in the local crime section whenever there is room.
I love talking about Kennedy. I was just down in Dallas, Texas. You know, you go down there to Dealey Plaza, where Kennedy was assassinated. You can actually go to the sixth floor of the school book depository. It's a museum called the Assassination Museum. I think they named it after the assassination. Anyway, they have the window set up to look exactly like it did on that day. It's really accurate, you know, because Oswald's not in it. Painstaking accuracy, you know. You can't actually get to the window as such, but the reason they did that, of course, they didn't want thousands of American tourists getting there each year going, "No way, I can't even see the road. Shit, they're lying to us. There's no way." Bill Hicks. "Anybody here seen my old friend John?" Weatherford, Texas. I'd hoped to make it to Stephenville tonight, but it's midnight and I'm about an hour or more short. Stephenville's where there's been a recent rash of UFO sightings. I'll go outside and smoke a cigarette and look around. It's the best I can do. I'm here, UFOs. Abduct me. Thursday night, I met with the Dallas-Fort Worth 9/11 Truth Group at Crystal Pizza. Daniel and Dale are from Dallas. They're jailers in the Dallas County Jail. I mentioned the old jail and it being in Dealey Plaza, how some inmates said they saw a shooter in the sixth floor window. Daniel says it's closed now, but they used to hold hangings on the roof. Says former inmates of the jail and older jailers say it's haunted because of that. Dale is big and bald, and he'll be 21 soon. He's from Arizona. His dream would be to get onto the Dallas Police Force and then become a resource officer in the school. This morning, I went to Mecca. I don't think being in Bethlehem could be any more awe-inspiring than where I was today. Maybe a John Prine concert. Dealey Plaza, 411 Elm Street. First day I walked into kindergarten at Lincoln School, Miss Steele had written all across the blackboard in big, fluffy, yellow teacher handwriting, President John F. Kennedy. In third grade, just after lunch, Sister Ellen floated into the classroom on the invisible nun conveyor belt and told us the president had been shot and that he was dead.
Why, I asked Mike Brown, who is standing on the grassy knoll, why he comes here. For the truth, says Mike. He's a big black man wearing black work clothes. He's got a deep voice, and he's giving folks the alternative view of history, the op-ed of what they have just heard nearby in the JFK Museum tour. He's been coming to this place ever since to tell the truth. What is the truth? Everybody ran here, he says, meaning the grassy knoll. You could smell the gunpowder. He didn't see any shooters when he arrived, but he pulls out a black and white photo of a man in a suit and a white cowboy hat behind a fence, carrying something under a jacket or cover that Mike says is a rifle. There's a police officer in the photo. Mike knows him, shows the two together in a recent color photo. The police officer says the man told him he was with the Secret Service and should keep the crowd that was coming up to the fence area away, which the officer then did. The man disappeared.
Mike was 13 in 1963. He shows a color photo of himself in the crowd on Elm Street. Skinny kid in a red and white checkered shirt, wide eyes, leaning forward to see the oncoming motorcade in front of the Dow Tech building. He later testified in front of the Warren Commission when it came to Dallas. It's small, tiny, so much in so little space. It's like finding out that World War II actually took place in a closet. The shot from the grassy knoll was point blank. There's an X in the middle lane of the road.
The road angles downward. The grassy knoll fence is still there. Right there is the overpass where the car disappeared into history with Jackie Kennedy climbing onto the back of the vehicle to retrieve part of her husband's brain. I walk around to look over the fence. I would be too short to be a shooter, but you realize that the shot was point blank. It's all just right there. Train whistle blows. Behind there are the tracks, the overpass. Mike says it's all just as it was then. The fence is the same. He points to the perch where Abraham Zapruder stood with his camera. It's right there, just a few feet away. This hasn't all been a dream. It's real. On the back of the fence, people have written their names, dedications to the president. St. John Hunt was here, son of E. Howard Hunt, 11308. JFK, God bless you. George Bush did it, 9/11 truth.
Inside the museum, they give you headphones. You go up the elevator to the sixth floor. You walk around the parts of the exhibit, listening to the audio tour. You learn about the Kennedy presidency, also about the mood in Dallas before his visit, during his visit. You see amateur film of the event, still photos. The crowds were 10 deep along Main Street. You look out those windows on the sixth floor down Houston Street where the motorcade came before turning sharply left. There are people all around the area taking photos, pointing toward the sixth floor. A group gathered out there on the grassy knoll. New carpeting, new shiny displays, but the wooden beams and the big steel braces are the same. You can touch them, lean against them, field them. Family history, genealogy. We want to know where we came from. It's not like going to see some World War I battlefield. It's now. There are people alive now who know the truth, who were there. It's a cold, open case. On the timeline of world history, it's still the same day. Mostly quiet in the museum because people are walking around with earphones listening to the audio tour. But it's also quiet from intensity. Like folks are walking in to view the body of a close friend. When they actually get there, perhaps more than they can handle. I'd meant to walk around in the neighborhood behind the depository where Oswald ran or walked to get away. But in the tour, they say he walked out the front door, took a bus, then a transfer, then a cab, then walked to get home in the Oak Cliff neighborhood, change clothes, get his gun, then supposedly kill Officer J.D. Tippit, then try to hide in the Texas Theater on Jefferson Boulevard, where he was captured by the Dallas police.
Mike points back over the trees to the double McDonald's arches in the distance and says that's where Kennedy was supposed to be going to speak at a luncheon at the Market Hall. He was just a few minutes from there. I ask why Oswald ran. Mike said he didn't run, he just went home to get his gun. Tippit was supposed to kill him. Oswald was the patsy. Maybe he realized at that moment what was happening to him. Oswald sounds calm on the earphone, saying he didn't kill anybody. You stand there in the spot and hear those words, and I can't see myself being that cool. I get lost, leaving the area as a matter of course, go along an overpass, and I find myself in Oak Cliff. This is where Oswald lived, where Tippit was shot, where the theater is. It's now a black neighborhood. I'll bet it was white middle class back then.
I make a wrong turn, almost hit a white car. The black woman screams and honks. I mouth, sorry, head back toward downtown. Mike says that Tippit was supposed to kill Oswald, the patsy, and Ruby had to be called in to clean up the job. But who shot Tippit then, and why? I can't help but wonder what it would have been like to be Oswald at that time, to be boarding that bus, running with all this happening around him, walking along a normal city street, knowing his life would never be ever okay again. I go all the way through the downtown along Commerce, finally find Main Street, realize this is the motorcade route. It'll take me back to Dealey Plaza. Here it is. I passed the spot where Mike stood in 1963. Here I go, down the dip. There's Mike on the grassy knoll with another group pointing up to the Daltex rooftop where he says one of the shooters was, along with two behind the fence and one more on the sixth floor. Not Oswald, Mike has told me. Mike's never left Dealey Plaza. He never will. I'm exiting soon. With President John F. Kennedy still etched into my brain in flaky yellow chalk. And then, boom, there I am on the X. The knoll's right there. There's the overpass. I turn right to take 35E. In a few moments, I pass Market Hall, where Kennedy was supposed to speak at a luncheon. And a few minutes later, the exit for Love Airfield, where the Kennedys landed, just before noon that day, and where they left later in the day with the president's body in a box.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO high school history teachers are about average.
We thank you for listening to our show tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned for Black Op Radio coming up next. We thank worldnewstrust.org, or worldnewstrust.com, thespiritualun.org, and June2508.com, our three sponsors. We thank Lenosonic, our producer, and we thank you, our listeners, for coming back and listening to us. Be sure to do it again next week, same time, same place. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. Did you know there are some aspects of 9/11 even 9/11 truthers are afraid to discuss? Who was responsible and why? Calls from the planes were faked. No plane crashed in Shanksville. No Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon. Video fakery was used in New York, and the media was profoundly involved. 9/11 was a fabricated Hollywood-style event. The one conference that will rip the veil of secrecy. The one conference that dares to tell the truth. The Vancouver hearings at the Denman Theater, June 15th to 17th. Just Google 911vancouverhearings.com. Be there if you have the courage to learn truths others dare not speak. The Vancouver hearings at the Denman Theater, June 15th to 17th.